Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 31st day of March 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. If you plant corn for a living, you're not alone. The numbers were huge this afternoon. We'll talk about those with Daryl Good, agricultural economist from the U of I, and then Dan Zwicker will be here to take up what it really means to the marketplace and the reaction in Chicago and what happened at the CME Group. We'll also talk with Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. As we close out our half hour together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too. That with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. May contract in the corn pit, a loss today, down 15.5 cents at $3.51.5. July at 355.75, 15.75 lower, and September down 15.5 at $3.60.5. New crop corn down 15.25 at $3.68.75, and the March at $3.78.25 down 14.5. Soy complex, May beans, $0.75 higher, $9.10.75. July at $9.17.75 up 1.5, and November beans at $9.24.75. $0.25 higher. January 9.28.5 up 2 cents. Bean meal down $1.60 at $2.70.30. The bean oil at $34.22 up 43 cents. Soft red winter wheat at $4.73.5 for the May, up 9.5. July at $4.80.75 up 9.25. And July hard red at $4.87 finished a dime higher on the day. Live cattle futures in Chicago. Nearby contract for the afternoon, April at $132.82.5 up 47.5 cents. June at $124.10. That's $1.02.5 higher. Feeder cattle, April contract up the $4.50 limit at $157.75, and May at $155.25 up $4.50 as well. Lean hog, 65 cents lower today at $68.27.5, in the April, the May at $77.20 for 100 pounds, 7.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Be sure to visit our website at willag.org. We'll post Commodity Week there about 5 o'clock this evening. Our guests include Bill Gentry, Matt Bennett, and Brian Stark. That's on Commodity Week, up online at 5 this evening.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Here's what some of the outside markets are trading like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $38.30 a barrel, down 2 cents. Ethanol futures at $1.43.5, or 2 cents lower. Gasoline on the wholesale price, down 2 2/10 cents at $1.41.3. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.17.7 is 1.7 cents higher. Natural gas at $1.96.7, 2 9/10 cents lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,588, down 34 points. The U.S. dollar at 94.58, down 0.239. And the gold futures on the day at $1,232.90 a troy ounce, up $6. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Thunderstorms this afternoon between 3 and 4 o'clock, so watch out for those. Mostly cloudy, a high of 70 degrees. It'll be breezy out there on a north-northwest wind, with wind gust all the way to 37. Chance of precipitation in the area this afternoon set at 60%. A 30% chance of rainfall this evening before 7, partly cloudy thereafter, and a low of 41 on a northwest wind at 8 to 15, gusting to 28. Now tomorrow, scattered showers for Friday. After 8 a.m., partly sunny then, a high of 55, west-southwest winds at 6 to 16, gusting to 24, and Friday night scattered showers before 8 p.m., partly cloudy, a low of 33. Saturday during the day, sunny skies and 51 degrees. It'll be windy Saturday and cold, with gusts as high as 45. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released both the prospective plantings and the grain stocks report. Daryl Good, agricultural economist here on campus, joins us to discuss the numbers. We should start with the prospective plantings report. Once in a while, USDA really surprises the trade. And in this case, it was the numbers that come directly from the farmers as it relates to corn acreage.
Yeah, it really was a surprise. Farmers indicated they're going to plant 93.6 million acres of corn this year. That would be 5.6 million more than planted last year, even though planted acreage was off last year a little bit because of prevent plant. The size of the increase is much larger than the trade had guessed, and with any kind of normal yields, does point to a very large corn crop in 2016.
Does it also point to a very small cash price?
I think it points to lower prices, certainly. I think if we have a trend yield, which we calculate to be around 166 bushels per acre, we would be looking at year-ending stocks over 2 billion bushels and probably an average price, we're thinking around $3.40 a bushel next year, a full 20 cents below what we think we will average for the current year.
And USDA's trend yield is larger than your trend yield.
USDA's calculation is a couple bushels higher than ours, so if you use that, it would point to even larger stocks, depending, of course, on how strong demand is next year. I think the real question is, will we see actual acreage deviate very much from intentions? We know historically acreage does never equal March intentions. It's always a bit higher, a bit lower, with some tendency to be lower. And one might guess with the price reaction that we're seeing, depending on spring weather, we might see some of the intended corn acreage switch back yet to other crops. I wouldn't be surprised to see acreage come in eventually a million acres less than intentions. And then, of course, you still have the yield question in front of us. Yields can be above or below trend. We kind of argue that perhaps there's an elevated risk of yields below trend this year because of the unwinding of the El Nino episode. So if you had a combination of a million fewer acres and 4 or 5 bushels lower yield, you would actually see ending stocks next year not much different than this year, and an average price about the same, $3.65 or so. So I think that's the positive spin you can put on this. I don't want to yet consider the other alternative, is that we find more corn acres and an above trend yield, then things get, I think, really a bit ugly on the price side.
Nonetheless, you normally would say normal year, normal yields, that's where you start, and it turns ugly fast.
Yeah, normal yields is where you start your expectations, and then we'll see how the planting and growing season unfolds, whether those expectations should be revised and in which direction they should be revised. So still a lot of uncertainty ahead, but we're not starting with a very optimistic picture on corn prices for the upcoming marketing year.
For soybeans, what did they tell us?
Soybeans, a slight reduction in planting intentions compared to what was planted last year, about 400,000 acres or so, and that would be a bit less than the market had expected on average. So again, if we have trend yields next year on soybeans, even the modest reduction in acreage probably does not eliminate the big stocks of soybeans that we have this year, would probably be repeated in 2016-17 as well. You might argue, you know, kind of conversely with corn, that with the price reaction we're seeing, that perhaps we might get a few more soybean acres planted than what was intended. We could find maybe a million acres more soybeans. At the same time, if yields came in a couple bushels below trend, then we would see quite a reduction in year-ending stocks. Not tight, but certainly would eliminate much of the surplus we're seeing this year, and and perhaps point to slightly higher prices next year. But
on the stocks, and stay with soybeans for the moment, U.S. stocks year over year for soybeans were 115%. So there are a lot of soybeans around.
Right. I mean, that's something we knew. And, you know, USDA has been projecting year-ending stocks at 460 million bushels, which is huge. But stocks did come in about 25 million bushels less than the market expected. That's not a big deal at mid-year at 1.53 billion bushels. I think the market, as I said, was about 25 million higher. So kind of a non-issue there, I think, but at least not a bearish number.
And for the corn?
7.8 billion bushels March 1, about 50 million more than a year ago, 60 million, almost identical to the average trade guess. So again, that says that feed and residual use of corn is pretty much right on track with reaching the 5.3 billion bushels that USDA has projected for the year.
You have said since last fall, reward the rallies. I suspect you're still saying if you have either crop, reward the rallies.
Yeah, if we get rallies, that would be the thing to do. I think, the real question now is, are we going to get some kind of information that would rally the markets? And that's going to have to be primarily on the supply side. So at this juncture, we're looking for some kind of weather market to give us a better opportunity.
Darrell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Don.
Darrell Good, of course, is agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Dan Zwicker is a consultant out of Waco, Texas. At Zwicker Consulting. He now joins us by the phone line to talk about what happened at the CME Group. Boy, what an ugly day after 11 o'clock. And this is bad news for farmers, really bad news, I think.
Well, it's all in corn. Wheat and soybeans did manage to close higher for the day with a big downdraft in corn. They closed out the month higher. They closed out the quarter with a quarterly reversal to the upside. So it does indicate that maybe soybeans and wheat have found some pretty good support levels. But the shocker, of course, was the planting intentions number on corn, which came out at 93.6. The trade was looking for at least 90, maybe even a little bit more. I know the high end of the range was 91. So it even exceeded the high end of the range by 2.5 million. So that is the big shocker, and naturally, corn responded to that with sharply lower prices.
How much damage done to the corn charts today, if any?
Well, we had an outside quarter going for us, a higher close. Instead, we went to a lower monthly, outside monthly lower close. So it does indicate this 346, 347 area has kind of been a support point on corn over the past year or so now. So if you take out those lows, which are about 46 and three quarters, then you basically open up the gates then for a test of that 318 low that was recorded back in 2014. So we'll have to see how much follow-through we get on the chart. But with this type of corn acreage number, now we're going to take a look at what planting pace is and whether or not those corn acres will get planted. Then if the question is the sharply lower prices, will that alter farmers' planting intentions as we go on into April. So that's going to be the thing that the market will probably be focused on.
And there'll be a lot of pencils running both on the farm and at the bank, I would think, this afternoon and the next week. Will that change very much the acreage mix? Sometimes it does, but I don't know whether there'd be a lot of change between now and June.
Well, usually weather is the one that does the changes. This year may be a little different. remember that a lot of this survey was done maybe March 1, and maybe a lot of farmers hadn't really even sat down and visited with their bankers yet. And but my guess is with this type of price action and these kind of prices, there's going to be some maybe shifting of mood, whether or not to loan someone the money to plant corn. I know I'm kind of a lone ranger in this, and is subsidized crop insurance, I think, is one of the main culprits with this larger acreage of corn. We would not have the acres in the plain states if we would not have subsidized crop insurance. And they get a little bigger piece of the pie than the eastern Corn Belt farmers do. And they can raise corn cheaper than a lot of eastern Corn Belt farmers. So that's one of the reasons why I think, you saw such a bubble up in corn acres. And bean yields have kind of topped out at that 60 bushel. And I think farmers were hoping that maybe with the right amount of fertilizer and the right amount of seed population, they would go for the high-end yields, and see whether or not they can cash flow it with a larger production. The problem is that if the weather pattern is favorable as we move forward in here, it's going to be very tough to get the corn market to rally to give farmers an opportunity to sell anything. If not, it'll continue to put downward pressure on the balance sheet, and maybe not all those corn acres will get planted. I guess that would be the function of the market now, will be to tell the U.S. producer that we don't need that many acres of corn, and if you're going to plant that many acres of corn, this is what corn's going to be worth, and we'll have to see how Mother Nature plays the thing out as we go down the road. But one day of price action here is quite ugly on the charts for corn. But like I said, on the other hand, soybeans and wheat look more favorable. But we'll just have to kind of wait and see what how the growing season materializes and the planting season goes.
Hey, thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. Today's agricultural news takes the USDA report and makes it even more bleak. Grain traders told Reuters that China's policy change to end corn stockpiling could bring the risk of lesser demand from that nation. The Chinese government confirmed this week the nation will end its corn stockpiling program at a time of high global supplies. Importers in China are likely to reduce purchases of farm products for livestock feed, including sorghum and dried distillers grains, or DDGs. The policy shift aims to bring China's domestic corn prices more in line with foreign supplies, so the short-term impact will be less demand from China as they use up their own crop. Well, the World Trade Organization this week sided with Argentina in a biodiesel anti-dumping duty trade dispute. The dispute between Argentina and the European Union started back in 2013, and the WTO called on the EU to change its policy. However, noted the EU regulation did not violate WTO rules. The EU was blocking Argentine biodiesel imports. Argentina is a major exporter of biodiesel and called the EU measures protectionistic. Well, beef exports from South America are expected to increase 11% this year. Meeting Place reports that's because of favorable currency values, improved access to importing countries, and increased beef availability. And finally today, anti-trade rhetoric by the leading presidential candidates means bad news for agriculture, and one senator says that rhetoric could harm chances for passing free trade deals, no matter which party wins the White House. Longtime agriculture Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa was asked if the future White House trade policy could reflect the campaign rhetoric.
Well, if they stick by their guns, we aren't going to have any trade agreements. It's that simple. And I hope reason will prevail and consider the trade agreements and have a up or down vote. And I would, I haven't read TPP entirely, and I've got to read it. but I think it's all very good for agriculture.
The American Farm Bureau says the TPP could bring some $5 billion in net new farm exports and $4 billion in added cash receipts for farmers. However, the final vote may not happen for months, and some predict that vote will not come until a post-election lame-duck Congress, or even with a new Congress and a new president next year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market and discuss what happened in Chicago as well. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us. Were you in the office there in Windsor today?
Yes, I was.
And how was the reaction from the farmers? I suspect you had a few of them in the office with you.
Well, it wasn't altogether good. Most of them were a little bit irritated. I think it was a little bit of shock with a 93.6, you know, coming in 2.6 above the highest guess. Definitely would have led me to believe we were going to be looking at a limit move lower. So I suppose us being able to keep it from trading in that fashion was probably at least a moral victory.
Why do you think that happened?
Yeah, I think there's a variety of things that are going on. There's a lot of head scratching. You know, are we going to go ahead and put all the prevent plan acres back in the mix? Are we going to, you know, what are we going to do on CRP? Because, you know, like on Illinois, more corn, beans, and wheat acres is an interesting situation. I know we had some prevent plan acres last year, but, you know, we're making the assumption we're not going to have very many of those this year, and that, you know, the CRP maybe won't be maxed out. And so I think, you know, weather is definitely a concern when you look at what's going on with the Delta. I mean, they could definitely lose a few acres. So that's probably part of the reason that you're going to trade weather from here on out. But by all means, any bullishness from anywhere would be dampened pretty quickly with a 93.6.
It is a big number. Did it change your marketing plans for anybody today?
You know, not necessarily. We still feel like we're going to, you know, have a chance maybe to look at some better markets this summer. I think for now, you know, we had some short-term floors under the market, especially for producers who were sitting on a lot of corn or had strategies to replace the corn that they'd sold. And, you know, those floors worked quite well today, and it was a pretty good time to have stuff like that in because we felt like the you know, the risk was probably to the downside, and most people felt the same way. So that was no big revelation, but that's definitely how we approached it, and it looked pretty good. But I do think we've got a long ways to go. I mean, we don't even have the corn crop in the ground yet, so I'm not giving up on it yet.
There will be only a few of folks that can do this, but for those who have decided they're going to plant soybean acres additional based on what they heard today, should they take a position in the market?
If they're going to plant because of the market more soybean acres, then by all means they should be managing the risk, because that's one of my pet peeves is making a decision based upon what's going on with the market, but they're not doing anything to lock anything in with the market. This really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us. We'll talk with you during Commodity Week in about half an hour.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That's Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting. He will be with us on Commodity Week. You can find it online at 5 o'clock this evening.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
It's Tater Day. The celebration started in 1842 or 1843 as a time when town folk in Benton, Kentucky would get together and trade sweet potatoes. Farmers from the countryside would bring their taters to town to sell or trade. Nowadays in Benton, the celebration is a three-day event, complete with parade, carnival, baking, canning, and fiddling competitions, and gospel singing. It's also Oranges and Lemons Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1814, John Limebeck patented the cottonseed hulling machine. In 1918, daylight savings time went into effect in the U.S. for the first time. The idea was sponsored by the Daylight Savings Association. New York Senator William M. Calder introduced the bill to Congress on 17 April 1917. It was initially defeated, but subsequently passed by a roll call on 27 June 1917. The concept had originally been introduced in Great Britain as a fuel-saving measure during wartime. In 1945, Lewis Ralph Jones died on this date. Jones was an agricultural botanist and one of the nation's most distinguished plant pathologists. Jones studied enhanced control of potato diseases and increased yield. And in 1989, chefs from Japanese restaurants in New York, after a long debate, persuaded the FDA to allow them to import and serve Japanese blowfish. The chefs had to attend special classes to protect their customers from poisoning. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. As a Small Business Administration preferred lender, Busey partners with businesses and entrepreneurs who bring vibrancy to the community. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. It's the 31st day of March. We're now joined by Mike Tenor at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago to discuss the weather forecast. Mike, hope you're having a good day there in Chicago.
Sure am, Todd. Thank you for saying that.
Let's take a look at what's been happening in the weather across the United States. Can you start in the Plain States? They have been dry. And they've been warm so far. That meant the crop came out early. What conditions do we have today, and what do you see in the future?
Well, it's pretty much the same story for the next 7 to 10 days. They've been much warmer than normal over the last several weeks and the last several months. And just because of that, like you said, wheat development is ahead of schedule. We haven't seen too much in the way of rain either. Over the last 90 days, if you look at rainfall across the hard red winter wheat belt, we can see that 54% of U.S. production was drier than normal over the last 90 days. That's indicative of agricultural drought. Now, if we break it down a little bit more, 32% of U.S. hard red winter wheat received less than half of its normal over that period. That's wheat that is very dry, and it is in a key area. It extends from the southern half of Kansas south into western Oklahoma and west Texas. So we need rain there. There's not much coming up here for a while. But we do have some promise for some rain starting up next weekend or early the following week, let's say within a day or two of April 10th. Now, if that comes to fruition and we see big rains about that period, that would help to alleviate this situation. But we caution that it doesn't look like an ideal setup at this point. We do know that some storm systems will move across the Midwest at that time. Those will also affect the plains, but we can't say with any level of high certainty that they're going to see a big rain. We would just be comfortable forecasting a quarter inch of rain across a large area and leave it at that for now. We still have to wait about, let's say, 4 to 5 days until we can really fine-tune that forecast and see what's going to happen out there.
So the same old in the Plain States. How about the Delta? Same thing there, except it's a little bit of the opposite. They keep getting rain.
Well, that's right. They did see some big rains a few weeks ago. Then it dried out a little bit. But last night, they were pounded by 2 to 3 inches of rain right in the key area of the Delta. It's going to rain there again today in a severe weather outbreak. So it's too wet for planting at the moment in the Delta. Now, it does turn a lot drier here for about a week. So we're not going to see much in the way of rainfall once we get into tomorrow. And then lasting into that April 10th time period. So maybe 7 to 10 days of dry weather, let's say. But after that, it sure looks like it's going to turn wet again. We see a similar pattern to the one that we're in at the moment, redeveloping. And if that happens, then we're going to see big rains again in the Delta. Again, that's about 10 days from now. So wet now, drying out, and then turning wet again. All in all, maybe a little bit of a planting window later next week, but it should close after a few days.
The growing season in South America started late, and last fall you suggested that could be a problem for second crop corn as they turn to drier conditions. What do you see today?
Well, they're turning dry right now. It looks like an early start to the dry season might be starting. At the moment, This is something to watch for their second crop corn.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.